Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP Podcast. I'm doing this on Saturday, the, was it 20th or 21st? 20th. 20th. And tomorrow is the big ceremony for Charlie Kirk, which we're not attending, but 60,000 people will. A lot of our friends will. A lot of folks you know will be there. And, you know, Hugh Hewitt's been talking about it. He's hoping it doesn't turn into another Wellstone thing. If you remember 2002, I know all you young people are going, no, I don't remember that. 2002, Paul Wellstone is a very liberal guy in Wisconsin. No, it was Minnesota. And his plane crashed before the 2002 elections. And they had a memorial for him. And, you know, a number of Republicans went there because, you know, it's a horrible tragedy. And he was popular among other senators. And they turned it into a political rally. I mean, they just trashed Republicans. And it was out and out partisan. And there is, you know, people even today are like, well, you know, Wellstone or Norm Coleman won it. Walter Mondale was the replacement. But they think, most people think that very ugly ceremony, very political, really, really hurt the Democrats. I'm confident it's not going to turn into that. I think they're going to focus on faith, family, and the flag. I don't think it's going to be overtly political. I'm sure there'll be something taken out of context. Oh, you know, Charlie believed in Jesus. What's up with that? Kind of shit. I think if I had to bet, and you'll know what it is by now, I think it'll be perfectly legit. I think it'll be a meaningful thing. And I've got a town hall piece coming for VIPs. It's going to come Wednesday. I've already started writing it because I want to think about it. I think we're going to see Charlie's legacy. And he has a real legacy. Everybody's talking about him like, oh, this great guy. He was really a visionary, like Andrew Breitbart. He really made a difference. I'm sitting here talking to Arena, and you know, we both met him. You know, I texted with him a little. I did some of his shows. But I'm not like his friend, but he had an influence because the last thing I reached out for him was to come on a radio show I was hosting. And I'll be hosting a lot of radio shows in the coming weeks, by the way. So you guys keep watching my Twitter space for that. But I wanted him to come on to talk about something that I think everybody's missing, which is young people. I are totally missing how Charlie Kirk was focusing on the economic and the social problems faced by young people. I'm a 60-year-old retired lawyer who drives a BMW. I have no connection anymore with a kid starting out. And listening to Charlie, it was a complete mind blow to me because it never occurred to me the trouble these kids were having getting started in life. How about you, honey?
Yeah, no idea. Made me think about it.
Yeah.
Thoughtfully, and I have compassion for them.
Yeah, and that's the secret weapon. That's what he was talking, that's what he was on to. And Charlie said something that was controversial, and I actually clashed with had a argument with a conservative friend of mine, who I've known 16 years since Andrew Breitbart days. One of Charlie's things was not traditional conservative idea. He said, what's the best thing people can do to stop or to help young people? And he said, outlaw big hedge funds and corporations like BlackRock from buying single family homes. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. But you know what? That sounds huge to me. To get a guy like Charlie, who was unequivocally conservative, free enterprise guy, started a huge business, knows his Adam Smith. Unlike all those idiots who went to college and actually got stupider, he didn't go to college and learned. And he was a smart cat.
Brilliant.
And I did not agree with him on everything. I've had disagreements with him about things, which aren't important, and they're not major disagreements. But he, you know, he was a smart cat. And to have him say, we need to outlaw these big corporations from buying up these houses so that young people have a chance to get a home, which is, you know, the foundation of the American dream, because most of your value is going to be in a home. Yep. Right?
Your wealth building.
Your wealth building is in a home. I mean,
it is.
We built wealth in a home.
Yeah. It took us a while to get into one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't get into a house until I was in my 50s.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that was my choices.
We were also in Southern California.
We were in Southern California. There were a lot of reasons, and it could have been different. I could have got into a house. In fact, I was almost in a house with you before 9/11.
Yeah.
And we had to pull out of that because, we, you know, my stock just went through the floor. And I lost a ton of money that, and I had to pull out. And the realtor never forgave me. For like 20 years, she was still bad-mouthing me around town.
She was.
Yeah, you remember?
Yeah, I do.
And it's like, well, bitch, I'm not selling my stock at 50 cents on the dollar so you could get your freaking 6%. Bitch. Anyway. But look, it is, I'm just saying, there are things that Charlie did that are going to resonate. And I think the Trump administration is very much on board with the stuff Charlie's saying. And I don't want to spoil my town hall completely. There's a lot of other good stuff in it. But look at the things Trump is doing and how they relate to young people. Cutting the rate of inflation. Now, that helps everybody. The things he cutting interest rates. That helps young people who have student loans, who want to get a mortgage. Does not help savers. Does not help me as much. What I've got in cash is not making as much money as it was a year ago. Right?
Yeah.
It is, but that's okay. I'll be fine. I'm much more concerned with the people coming after me right now. And there's another thing. Peace. It was young guy. Now, I was an old guy when this war started. I was a young guy in Desert Storm. I was in my 40s when I deployed for Kosovo after 9/11. But it was primarily young guys who fought that war. Young guys 18 to like 25, 26.
Yeah.
And they're not getting killed or maimed anymore. And that's important. Don't get me wrong, they're not pacifists, they're not cowards. They'll fight if they have to, but they're not getting their lives wasted on stupid wars. I think that is immensely important to young people. The H-1B visa thing. Right?
Yeah.
$100,000 to do an H-1B visa. H-1B visa. No. That lets you bring in a person, a foreigner, to do a job if you can prove an American isn't available to do it. Right?
Yeah.
And, of course, what these companies do, and there's all these companies import, largely Indians. They, like, do it in, like, the, you know, Rancho Cucamonga Star Tribune. They put the announcement there and hide it. And they bring in a bunch of people who work for slave wages. And often, American workers have got to train them before they're fired. They are cheaper than American workers. Right? And the corporations love them. The high-tech guys love them. Elon Musk was very mad because of that. Trump said, no, $100,000 to do it. Cost you $100,000. If it's that important to you, put down $100,000. Where am I going to get my AI guys? Zuckerberg is paying like $1 billion to hire all the smartest AI guys. It's another $100,000. If it's that important, do it. Put the $100,000 down. But, and keep in mind, these aren't like all even STEM jobs, though a lot of them are STEM jobs. It's like truckers, you know?
Right.
Folks who, it's just not, you don't need a degree for all this stuff.
You don't need to look outside of the country.
Well, yeah. Now, we need to do some other things, like stop paying people to sit on their fat asses and do nothing. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's a lot of people who are just bums. And, you know, my feeling about welfare is that it should be replaced by a system of community gruel pots, where people can go and get a tasteless but nutritious meal.
Protein.
A balanced diet in gruel form. Because solids are for closers. If you want solid food, get your freaking ass up and get your ass a job. I was mopping out toilets at Carl's Jr. when I was 16. I don't want to hear any of your shit. I was a private first class. I don't want to hear it. Look, and my article talks more specifically about the elections next year, but here's the thing. It's more about just the elections. We Republicans have a chance to lock in the future. And you should go read Selena Zito's stuff, because she's catching it too. She's focusing kind of on the faith side, because there's lots of revival meetings at schools and things that are going on. You know, because it is understandable that they're having a faith crisis, because what has the left offered them? You can mutilate yourself into pretending to be a different sex. That's their offer. That's going to find you happy. Here's a handful of SSRIs. That's going to make you feel better. Maybe you can be mad about everything and believe the most prosperous, freest country in the history of humanity is a giant racist, systemically racist nightmare. Liberalism is for broken, mutated people. It's for empty people. Look at all of them. You look at them out marching. Honey, they're ugly. Now, the thing is, They want to be. They've given up. And you look at conservatives, and they may not be swimsuit models, but you know what? They're smiling. They're happy. And the leftists are just sad and broken. And I think kids are looking at that going, I don't want this for me. You know? Do you agree?
I think a lot of young men, especially, hoping that young women start feeling that way.
Well, that's the secret weapon is Erica Kirk. Because, you know, Charlie focused on young men, being a young man.
Yeah. Well, he knows men because he's a man.
Erica Kirk is going to provide this amazing counterpoint to the left. If you're some bitter, broken girl on a college campus, you can go with the people who want you to be more bitter and more broken and never get healed. You can't get healed. You're systemically racist. Everything's systemic. You're going to be a tool of the patriarchy. Everything's horrible. You're probably not even a girl. Or you can be Erica Kirk. And you know, and the thing about Erica Kirk, even though they murdered her husband, she's gonna find happiness with those kids. Right? She's going to be strong. She's not going to be a pushover. She's no handmaiden. Oh, they'll say she is, but she's going to be running this giant organization. And, you know, I don't know her. I've never met her. People who do know her are like, oh yeah, she's going to be fine doing this job. I don't think they know what they've unleashed with their disgusting murder. And I do blame them for this murder. I absolutely blame the left for this.
I absolutely do too.
Yeah, there's no... And they're happy to accept it. When they're alone. Oh my gosh, can you imagine what they're saying when we're not around or we're not looking at them on social media? Can you imagine?
Well, they're probably planning.
Well...
Okay, sorry. That's what I think.
Well, I think they're happy to let the most freakish of them do it, because then they're at no personal risk. They're never at any personal risk for anything. There's no personal risk to being a leftist. There's a huge personal risk, even of death, to be conservative. Okay.
Yeah, well, they can say whatever they want. Kill them all. They should kill them all. They can say that.
Well, look, look, when you're in the public eye, we are.
Conservatives.
Yeah. It's real. We've made police reports. Yeah. I'm a lawyer. I document. Right? If you're going to, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and here's some fun facts, cops are going to know about it. So if something happens, you know, hey, I told you. I don't hesitate to say it. I'm armed. I'm carrying right now. And I think that's a necessity. Because these people would be perfectly happy for me to be dead. But, you know, I'm out there, I'm doing media and stuff. But here's the thing, here's the scary part. The scary part isn't that they want me dead. That's an annoying part. You know what the scary part is they want you dead. They don't even know who you are. They've never met you. They don't know anything about you. Except you're a patriot, you probably have faith, and they want you dead for it. That's the scary part. The really scary part. These people are evil. They're freaking evil.
Don't believe in their lying gender ideology.
Or any of their crap.
Their souls, their lives, their bodies.
Yeah, I mean, look at this kid. This kid's entire life is gone. His entire life is inside cinder blocks. Forever.
And I blame the educators.
Oh, right.
Everybody who told them, you could possibly be in the wrong body.
Yeah, I don't blame the parents. I don't blame the parents. I think they did what they could. But, you know, kids aren't... You don't have magic powers over kids. You can do the best they can, but people have free will. And as Bart Simpson's elephant trainer once said, you know, some elephants are just jerks. Anyway, that's where I'm at right now. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I don't know, of course, because it hasn't happened yet, but I sure hope this memorial to Charlie comes off in an appropriate manner, and I'm confident it will. Do they say in Star Wars, you cut me down, I'll become more powerful than you ever imagined? That's Charlie, guys. Well, read me every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at Town Hall at Kurt Schlichter. Go read Arena and I's book, Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on a Sunset Strip. Read the scary as heck novel. The Attack, because there's people saying that may happen soon. I'm a little concerned about that.
Oh, right. American Apocalypse,
Second Civil War. But read, go ahead and read the Attack, because there's people out there saying, hey, the bad guys are looking to do an assault. Okay. I see it.
Wrap it up, because there's a chain of plans.
Okay, gotta go. Bye.